Welcome to the next episode of What's Next with Eric Wood. This is another Ask E-Wood Anything edition, and thank you very much for taking the time to submit these questions each week. It's been fun. I've gotten great feedback from everybody. It's been fun to be able to call out individuals by their Twitter handles or their Instagram handles and really have some connections to the fans. Our first question is from @ArmyOfRamsey. This is from Jack. What was the happiest moment of your football career? You know, honestly, for me, it was making the playoffs in 2017 in such dramatic fashion, and breaking the 17-year playoff drought was just absolutely phenomenal. Down in Miami, celebrating in the locker room. Then we hop on a flight. It's New Year's Eve back to Buffalo. And while we're in the air, we have a New Year's Eve celebration. And we're partying pretty good the whole way home. Inappropriate fashion. Many of us had to drive from the airport, but had a really good time on the flight home. And then that night we all went to downtown Buffalo and got together as a team and celebrated New Year's with family and friends that people had in town. It was an absolute awesome time. Some runner-ups for me were, I won two state championships in high school, and I went to Elder High School in Cincinnati, which is a storied program, but they only have two state championships in their history, and that's my junior and senior year. Now, I wasn't a big contributor on my junior year's team, the 2002 state championship team, because I didn't play a whole lot. I was our second tight end. So I got in the game, but I wasn't a huge contributor. But my senior year, I started at tackle, felt like I had a really good year, and really felt like I contributed to that one. And then when we won the Orange Bowl in college, that was a big deal. My first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, we finished in the top 10-ish in the country, and that was awesome for the Louisville football program. And when I committed to them, I only had one offer, so it's not like I chose from a bunch of different schools, but they were unranked at the time. And then with an influx of a lot of talent that came through Coach Petrino's system, we were able to have some great success that led to a lot of incredible memories in my football career. Next question comes from @BillsRock12. With COVID-19 and the restrictions it presents to the ordinary life, do you see any way that the 2020 NFL season is played? There's easily thousands of people required for an NFL team to operate. As a former player, your insight as to the behind-the-scenes aspects would be beneficial. Thanks. Honestly, at this point, there's no way to know exactly. You know, the way college football is trending, it appears that the season's going to start on time, whether that's with fans, without, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what's that's going to look like. I've been told not to speculate a whole lot about it either, because there's so many unknowns. Something I say could affect sponsorships. It could affect fandom. It could affect so many things, and I don't want to make it seem like my voice is a huge voice, but I'm in on phone calls and some behind-the-scenes stuff, like you said, and so I don't want to speculate. It would be hard for me to imagine a season not being played this year, but I don't know what capacity. And at this point, I think America needs football. I need football. I need to get back to work. And I'm looking forward to getting back to work in what hopefully will be another great, fun season for me on the broadcast side. But, you know, think about this. Last year, I was on three planes a week, one leaving Louisville to an ACC game, ACC game to the Buffalo game, Buffalo game back to Louisville. Man, what's that look like now? And what are the travel restrictions? And what kind of, how am I going to have to get ready to fly each week? The safety precautions, it could be a wild fall for me. At the Brunner Show, this is from Christopher. He asks, what's your handicap nowadays? So he's referring to my golf handicap. I am a 7 index right now. I am up from a 5, which I started this year. I generally, throughout the year, I'll trend down. And then by the end of summer, fall, I'm starting to play some pretty good golf, and then through the winter I taper off again, play some early tough spring rounds in Louisville. The weather this time of year, it's either generally rainy or super windy, and we get out and play anyways, and so I've been posting some pretty high scores lately, so the handicap has risen. At ZPerks13 asks, not a question, but would like to hear your comments on the pickups of Reggie Bush, Mike Tolbert, Chris Ivory, and Frank Gore the past couple of years. They were all on their last legs by the time they got to us. I think they all are very underwhelming and prevented offense from being more explosive. So all these guys had roles they played with the Bills, and they all came in on very affordable contracts. So these were not guys that we were looking for a 1,000-yard season from, per se. These were guys that were here for a specific reason. For instance, last year, Frank Gore was brought in to develop Devin Singletary. They needed more veteran presence in that room, and who better than Frank Gore? And Devin Singletary goes on to lead the NFL in yards per carry for running backs as a rookie. Well, a lot of that success comes from stuff that he learned from Frank Gore. And Frank Gore also had a pretty productive year for the Bills last year. In regards to Chris Ivory, he came in on a tough year with the O-line being in a transition year as the first year under Brian Daboll. That was a tough deal for him. Mike Tolbert played a role in establishing the culture that McDermott wanted with the Buffalo Bills. He had been with McDermott in Carolina under Coach Rivera, and he wanted Mike Tolbert to come in and kind of show us what the culture was like that McDermott wanted to set in place. Mike Tolbert's a great locker room guy, and he also had a pretty productive year himself. And then when Reggie Bush came in, that was a tough deal. He was dealing with some knee injuries. Shady was obviously going to be the feature back. So when Reggie would come in, it would be a one-carry deal, and he would always try and hit a home run, because he didn't know when his next carry was going to be. And that's a tough position for a running back to be in. And so, yeah, he had a pretty down year, but Reggie's upside was so high and the Bills signed him for so cheap that it was great to take a flyer on him, in my opinion. At Mayor of Buffalo 716 asks, what's your view on cannabis for pain relief now that you're retired? And this is a tricky question, and honestly, I think anything is better than prescription painkillers. I've seen so many guys ruin their lives by taking prescription painkillers and get addicted to them. I've pushed CBD oil, which is a non-hallucinating form of cannabis, and I've pushed that for a while. We had podcast sponsors that were CBD oil companies, and honestly, I've used it. I've seen improvement in my sleep and maybe some reduction in aches and pains from the use of that. As far as smoking weed all the time, taking edibles and that type of stuff for pain management, I think you get into a slippery slope. And I'm pretty close with Dr. Daniel Amen, who was on the podcast earlier, one of the top brain specialists, if not the top brain specialist in the entire world. And Dr. Amen says that marijuana use will reduce the blood flow to your brain. And for a retired football player who had so many head collisions, I need to be careful personally about any substance I put in my body that's going to slow the blood flow to my brain, which it's going up there to heal it. At G. Frenchy French, this is from Graham, he asks, what was your favorite go-to food or restaurant in Buffalo? You know, one of my favorite things about Buffalo is how many non-chain restaurants they have, and I got to know so many great restaurant owners and got introduced to so many great people through all these non-chain restaurants up there. And I'll name a few. I'm going to offend people by leaving people off this list, and I apologize. Hit me up on Twitter and I'll shout you out on there if you're offended, honestly. But for us, we went to Elio DiPaolo's after almost every game, and they have become family to me. Elio and Dennis and Karen and everybody over there, they're just unbelievable people. They took us in early in my career. I'll tell a quick story. I broke my leg my rookie year in Jacksonville. Me and my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, fly back to Buffalo on Thanksgiving, that Thursday, and we don't have any food at my place. We're just up a creek and I'm stuck with this broken leg. And the DiPaolo's consistently brought over food to my apartment. And at that time I realized how loyal they were to me, and I stayed loyal to them. And I still go in there after games, after my broadcast now, and try to be loyal to them. But they've almost become like family. The DiPaolo's, Dennis and Elio, went to the first Bills game I ever attended after my career. Was the opener of the 2018 season, Bills at Ravens. We went to that game together. So they're like family. I would generally go down to Mulberry pretty often. And Joe Yerge is a phenomenal cook. And I would go down there and just pig out after games sometimes on Mondays or Tuesdays. I needed so many calories after games to get the week started, to get my weight back up, that I could have a couple Italian meals on Sunday night, Monday night. I also like the Big Tree. It was right by the stadium, famous bar in Buffalo. If you're not from Buffalo and you go to catch a game, go over to the Big Tree Inn and get you a cold one and some wings over there and listen to the stories of all the old players going on in there after games and whatnot. And there's some awesome Big Tree Inn stories. Back in the day, players could stay in the opposing team cities after games if they wanted, and they have pictures on the wall of Peyton Manning after the Colts playing up in Buffalo, staying around and hanging out in the Big Tree, Dan Marino, and a bunch of others. Well, that's a wrap for this week's episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe, and look forward to an awesome interview that's coming this Monday on What's Next with Eric Wood. Thanks.